As a business leader, you know attracting top talent is just the beginning. Real growth happens when you lead yourself and others well. Creating a company culture that attracts, nurtures, and retains the best of all things. We'll teach you how to make an impact through a holistic leadership approach. Reframing success in leadership. This is the Talent Magnet Institute podcast with your host, Mike Sipple Jr.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. Soon we'll be doing some rebranding, so I'm already ready to say the updated word, but I am so excited today to be in the studio, the virtual studio, with a dear friend, a coach, a mentor, Lori Rudiman. Lori released her book, Betting on You, and I'm so excited to be able to share that, you know, the world that I roll in with the HR community, we've all quickly gotten through the book, and its subtitle, How to Put Yourself First and Finally Take Control of Your Career. Lori is also a writer, speaker, and a podcaster of Punk Rock HR. And Lori, thank you so much for being with us today.
Mike, I'm honored to be here. You know, I have a Zoom sweater that I wear for the fancy Zoom occasions. So I'm in it. Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. Well, Lori, again, you've had a tremendous influence on me and many of our listeners. This is the first opportunity that you have to be listening and learning from Lori. Lori, I want to talk a little bit about the path that you took with this book that's basically encouraging people to wake up. I was shaken at times, right? That it's like, it's time to take control of your career and do it now. And here's how, and here's how to execute. What inspired you to take that approach with the book that you've been working on for quite a while to bring out to the world?
Well, thanks, Mike. You know, I worked in human resources and I was always at this weird intersection of work, power, politics, and money. And while I felt like I was okay at the job, I really didn't enjoy it. And the more responsibility I took on in the world, the less I liked it. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, Mike. Does that resonate with you?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You know, you take on more and more and you're like, why am I doing this? And so one night at an airport, I had a bit of a psychic break and said, no more, I can't do this anymore. And went on this journey that leads me up to today of really reconfiguring my career so that I still stay within the world of HR, but I align it more closely to my passion and to my skills. And along the way, I've been a writer, I've been a speaker, and people have been asking me for a book. And I've written a self-published HR book in the past, and I've advised on some academic journals, and I've written at the conference board, but I've never done a book. So that's where I am today with this book that you have so lovingly complimented. Thank you so much.
Lori, one of the things when you just asked me that question, and it basically put me, so I was reading a book outside of a basketball gymnasium about 5 years ago, and there was a chapter in the book that talked about basically overworking yourself to keep up with the world, right? The chapter really framed up as a book called Emotionally Healthy Leadership by author Pete Scazzaro. And it just that, hey, you can only do so much and the world ultimately will burn you out if you allow it to. And you need to take ownership, right? It's time. So actually, before I left I was again outside of a basketball camp for my son, and I called two organizations and resigned from their boards.
Wow. So, well, Mike, what you learned in that moment is that your work is not your worth. I mean, you're at a basketball game and you're thinking about leadership, right? And you're thinking about work. And you know, all healthy leaders, all healthy adults have other things in their life besides their jobs. And in fact, they do the good stuff like volunteer and do parental things and spend time with the people they love. And they take all that good stuff and bring it back to work, not the other way around. So I love that in this moment where you're kind of thinking about your career, you grounded yourself in the fact that you needed to do something differently. And whether it's resigning from a board or setting boundaries. These are the things that I talk about in my book. And it's a concept I like to call professional detachment. It's really just acting as if you're the CEO of your life, as if your job is actually something you have by choice And if you get to have your job by choice, you can design it any way you want. Now, truth be told, all of us work because very few of us are born of generational wealth. But if you can at least have the attitude of a rich person, right? Have the attitude of a Jeff Bezos and design that job and design that life, boy, you're going to head in the right direction every time.
So Lori, speak to our audience of entrepreneurs, of business owners.
Yeah.
And I am one. And
you are.
It's hard, right? It's hard to take a break, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, a lot of people, Lori even asked me, and some of our listeners who know me well, you know, ask like, you know, what I love doing outside of work is, and right now I'm in the season of enjoying my children on baseball fields and basketball courts.
Yep.
But even then, I have to work hard to make sure that, hey, if a buddy doesn't show up at a basketball court, that I'm not networking or giving some career advice, or on the weekends, right? I mean, I'm in the hustle. I'm in the growth phase of business. And I know many of our listeners, you're right there with me. You're thinking, I mean, I can't really take a pause because what does this look like? So speak to the entrepreneurs and the business owners on this call. What do we need to hear? You are one too. So share with us what you've learned and what you want to kind of hit us around a little bit with to wake us up.
Yeah, I exited corporate America during the Great Recession, which seemed like a terrible time to leave, but in truth, was really an opportunity for me to see how the world was doing things wrong and to find a different way, to be innovative almost by design, because I had to be in order to survive. And back then and to this day, there is this myth of the hustle that you've got to give it all and you constantly have to be on. And if you have a full-time job for 8 hours, the other hours are meant for you to chase your dreams. And that's all well and good. But we know from leaders everywhere across the entire business spectrum that nobody does anything worthwhile or notable on 4 hours of sleep. It's just never happened before. Moreover, the healthiest, most innovative businesses are really built on this idea that you do work and you do really great work with a work ethic, but when you're off, you're off. And so I think about all these companies that have invested in wellness and PTO and really helping people set boundaries. And it's almost when we're in corporate America, we see this and we're like, yeah, we should take our PTO. And then we pivot to entrepreneurship and we forget that the values that served us as employees are still important as entrepreneurs. So there is this myth around the hustle that I just want to break apart. In fact, I'm anti-hustle. In the book, I make the case for slackerism, that if you do your job, even as an entrepreneur, and you do it well, and you have a work ethic, and you give a really great 30 hours a week, you're going to be ahead of the game. And then take that other time and do something else. And the book offers ideas like investing in your well-being, continuous learning, taking different risks. All of those things outside of entrepreneurship actually form the foundation, form the infrastructure for a solid business and a solid life.
So again, there are people that are listening going, I mean, Lori, I'm working 75 hours a week. If I reduce it to 60, I don't know if I can keep up.
Well, isn't that the, I'm going to interrupt you because isn't that the lie we always tell ourselves? And also, if it's 75 hours, you're killing it and you're still not where you need to be. The impetus is to go, oh, maybe I shouldn't put in 80 hours, but I just want to have people zig instead of zag or zag instead of zig. I want them to peel it back, dial it back, and try fewer hours, but better hours. And Mike, that starts with good old-fashioned time management. It's really about looking at your calendar and making sure you're using every hour efficiently so that when you're working and you're not distracted. I don't know about you, but the distractions are the things I'm trying to tackle in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's great. It's great to double click on it and have this conversation around, you know, honestly, there's probably areas that you are doing that you shouldn't be doing. And are you really bringing your best, right? Are you getting the rest? Are you bringing your best? Or, I mean, there are some individuals that say if you work past 40 hours, your productivity, your quality goes down, right? That, you know, you might be spending too much time doing other things other than your work during work hours where you feel like you have to hang out as long as you do.
Well, you know, in the book, I talk about a former colleague of mine who became a client in my coaching business. And her name in the book is Deanna. And Deanna was a high-powered executive who had been a student athlete and had always exceeded expectations, married someone who was also high functioning, very powerful. They had these amazing kids who were very involved. And Deanna was in this world where she was constantly presenting to the board, managing teams of, you know, people who managed other teams, right? A significant role. And she would come home and all she would do is answer email all night long. You know, she worked so hard in her life to get this amazing job with all of these benefits that she couldn't take advantage of, couldn't enjoy her family, couldn't even enjoy Netflix, gave up on yoga, gave up on running, gave up on all of her hobbies, no time for Peloton, because all she did was work. And what she suffered from was something called the arrival fallacy. That is where you get to that esteemed place in your life, CMO, CHRO, entrepreneur, CEO, and you're like, is that all there is? And it's like, of course that's all there is, because that's all there is for you. You are no different than you were yesterday. In order to really enjoy the job, you've got to renegotiate your relationship with work and make sure that the people who are working with you and working for you aren't abusing your time, which is what Deanna was going through.
So the dynamic of the journey, right? So we reference the opportunity to climb to the top, which is a fallacy. You know, how many people, countless people of you and I experienced, interacted with that arrive and look around and go, is this all there is? Or why did I just do that, right? We talk a lot about relationship health, you know, being healthy in relationships, and how many leaders get to what they thought was what they wanted in life and look behind them and go, I just left all of what I really value behind with relationships. And, you know, how many executives have, with those on the that are listening and that you and I have interacted with, that don't have relationships with family members or friends? I was on a call last year with a CEO and asked the question, the phrase that I use fairly often on this podcast and in my work is 3 a.m. friends. And that CEO said, Mike, it's probably been 20 years since I sat down with the friends I would consider my 3 a.m. friends.
Wow. You know, that is so poignant, because when I was working at that small little drug company called Pfizer and flying around the world and laying people off and doing the work that ultimately made me have a bit of a psychic break and ask, what the heck am I doing with my life? I had let all of that go. I had long-term friends that I hadn't seen in ages, even though I was always on an airplane and in their towns. I just had no time on those business trips to swoop in and say hello. My family, which lives all over America, was secondary to my job. And I was secondary to my job. The relationship with myself was broken. You know, I was overweight and exhausted and tired. And I kept listening to people who said, oh, you need to take an antidepressant, or you need to take an anti-anxiety medication. And sure, that does help in some situations, but I was also using food and alcohol as coping mechanisms. And once I started to really build an infrastructure of well-being and put myself first, even though I didn't like my job got better because I got better. I brought a different energy to it. I wasn't a victim. I wasn't angry all the time. I actually had a sense of gratitude. Even though I didn't want to do it, I was grateful for the paycheck. I was grateful for the opportunity and the relationships I had developed that would launch me into my next career. So it's not just about the relationship with other people, which is important, but it's also with yourself.
Lori, what do you hope the ripple effect is of betting on you?
Well, Mike, I really hope that people don't read my book and say, I need to quit my job, because I write about this in the book. There's no joy in going from job to job to job until you really look at what's wrong with you. And I write, you fix work by fixing yourself. So I know right now all of these people are sheltering in place at work because they're afraid to look, because it's risky, or they're afraid to launch that new business. And what I hope the ripple effect is that they take the time when they're in this current role, whatever it is, before their next great thing, to explore what's going on with them, to look at their physical, emotional, financial well-being, to really think about how to learn some new stuff, to learn how to take risks and grow, and then to fully take accountability for what got them there, so that, in Marshall Goldsmith's terms, they can get to that next great place. Because as we know, Marshall Goldsmith says, what got you here won't get you there. So I hope people read my book and really understand that it may not be the right time to leave, and that's okay. But use your paycheck and your privilege that you have right now in this job to improve your life and improve your career.
Lori, over a year ago, you and I were on this podcast talking about the book that was going to come out in 2021.
Yeah. Right?
And here we are. Yeah, I believe that timing is never an accident, right? And this book, although I remember, even if you go back in our audience and you listen to the previous episode, you know, what your vision was for what the book would become, I'm sure it changed a lot in the details, but the heart of it is the thing. But the timing to come out during a time like this, where, you know, we've talked often that people are afraid, they shouldn't be, but there are some people afraid to take vacation.
Yeah.
Because of the volume of being an essential business, what it's done to the workforce, or I don't want to be next, right? Our company's continuing to go through change. And I'm afraid that if I take time off, I'm viewed as a weaker link in the organization, which is causing mental health problems. It's causing physical well-being issues. How do you feel about the timing that it's now released in a moment like we're living today?
People are scared, and there's no antidote to fear except for action. That's it. So if you are afraid, if you are scared, the action isn't to necessarily act on the thing that makes you afraid or makes you scared, but it's to examine it. It's to look at it. And one of the tools I offer in the book is this thing called the pre-mortem, where you can take this thing that you're afraid of, your fear of failure, your fear of trying, your fear of launching that new business, your fear of going on vacation, and you can actually play it out and say, how am I going to fail? Set a timer for a minute and list all the ways you're going to fail. If you want to go on vacation, I might get fired. I might get furloughed. I might fall behind. We might not enjoy it. We might go somewhere and we might get COVID and I might be out even longer. List all of those fears. Just do it for a minute. Then when the timer goes up, take a look at that list and see what you could fix proactively. Like, how can you get prepared to go on vacation so that you're not overwhelmed when you come back? How can you make sure you stay in the know and stay on your boss's good side before you go? There are ways to work with this fear, but just sitting and stewing in anxiety is so 2019, Mike. And what I'm really trying to push forward is this idea that we didn't live through and survive a pandemic just to live like the past. We've got to start putting ourselves first. That's what businesses do all the time. That's the lesson of the pandemic. Businesses are thriving right now, and yet they're acting as if we have something to be afraid of. We know businesses need good, talented people. And if you're smart, if you're talented, and you have a work ethic, you have nothing to fear. And that also goes for people who are thinking about launching a new business. New business applications are up in America, which is just amazing to me because, like the Great Recession, people have caught on to this idea that even if their job ends, there's still opportunity out there. So I think it's an exciting time. It's really about changing your mindset. And that happens slowly and with good friends and coaches and advisors.
I'd love for you to introduce the work that you do on the Punk Rock HR podcast to our audience. And I would invite our audience to make a mental note, pause this podcast for a quick second and leave it in Evernote so you can go subscribe to Punk Rock HR. But can you share with us a little bit about why you started your own podcast and what you hear and what you're trying to accomplish through that work as well?
Well, Mike, you are an upcoming guest on my podcast. And so I think if I just tell the audience that, they're going to know the zeitgeist. I'm looking for people who have big ideas about fixing the world of work. And again, I believe that we fix work by fixing ourselves first. But once we've done the good work on ourselves, it's time to turn it outward and be of service to others. So people who come on my podcast are of service in the world of work. Like just recently, I had on an author by the name of Meredith Feinman, who wrote this book called Brag Better. And the book is all about how to really take your accolades, all the kudos that we get that we're shy and nervous about sharing, and to talk about ourselves in a mature and confident way that isn't obnoxious. And she tells us how to do it personally, professionally, on the job search, when we're networking, when we want to brag about ourselves in order to brag for the entire team, Meredith has a plan. And so I love people who take kind of a contrarian counterculture approach. So she's a good one. I've also had on presidential candidate and New York City mayoral candidate Andrew Yang to talk about this idea of basic income, paying people a dividend because they're American. A lot of people don't like that idea, but isn't it fun to hear different ideas about work and wealth and money and power? That's what Punk Rock HR is all about. And I can't wait for you to come on, Mike. It's going to be fun.
Thank you for the invitation. It is, for those who know me, there's certain podcasts that we follow and we advocate for, and friends. I mean, really, Lori, you and I met through mutual friend, best friend, coach, mentor, Jennifer McClure.
Oh, gotta sing Jennifer's praises. Absolutely.
You know, and introducing us to your brand many years ago, over a decade ago, you know, because you were, when you were in your HR role, you launched this brand called Punk Rock HR and nobody knew who was behind it, right?
That is the story. You know, back in the day, it was really easy to be anonymous on the internet. It's a little bit more challenging now. And also back then, there wasn't a lot of competition. So nobody was writing about HR issues the way that I was writing about them. You know, I was trying to democratize HR and I was doing it behind the scenes. And my friend Chris Dunn said, if you don't buy the domain Punk Rock HR today, I'm going to buy it and sell it back to you for $1,000. And I went, oh, okay, I'll go to GoDaddy. I'll buy this domain. And my brand was born. So yeah, I credit our mutual friend, Chris Dunn. I mean, he's been great. And Jennifer McClure is another person. You know, no woman, no man is an island. Any success we have in this world is built on the foundation of others, right? And Jennifer McClure is someone who I also feature in the book because she gave me really amazing wisdom. And that is that everybody good gets fired once. And I heard that from her. You know, we were talking about a friend who got fired. And I'm like, is that true? But it turns out that the geniuses of the world, the, you know, the people who have just done great things have all been fired. And it tells you that if you're good at anything, you're going to irritate somebody, you're going to bother them, or you're going to fall outside of the rules and you're going to get fired. But the great people in this world dust themselves off and go back at it and learn from their mistakes. So that's what our mutual friend Jennifer McClure taught me. And again, we talk about this stuff on my podcast, but Mike, I want to know, have you been fired?
Think about that for a second. The only thing that I've been fired from was certain clients when I had my lawn care business before my professional career.
Love it. Love it. And what'd you learn from it?
You can't please everyone. And then we've had some with our executive search firm. You know, we've had clients that we just have either fired or we mutually came to an agreement that this is not working out.
Right.
And I think that's the, you know, by being the business owner of said search firm, that hurts, right? Because you want everything to work, right? But not everything works. And when there's that unhealthy tension that's making all of us miserable, it's time to separate, right?
Yes, yes.
And we talk a lot about that, Lori, with the way we want organizations and people leaders to approach those they even have to fire.
Oh, for
sure. Because you can do so with great respect and with mutual care.
Yes.
Even if the situation is really bad.
Yeah.
Right? Or you can do so to where everyone looks back and says, I will always remember that experience. And it is not positive. Mine is a client who we mutually needed to separate. Mm-hmm. And one of my peers and colleagues was in the room with me where I joke, I had a pencil thrown at me, but you know, it was doing one of these, right? And the pencil slipped and came straight at me and hit me in my chest. And I'm, you even threw a pencil at me. Right? And the tension should have never have gotten to that level, right? We should have mutually separated well before then. It's not good for anyone. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with that often.
No, no. I wonder if your audience, as they think about this, if they can envision the time in their lives when they were fired and it was terrible, or they knew someone who was fired and it was terrible. You know, I have a story as well, Mike. When I was in high school, I applied for a job as a busboy. And I'm not a boy, right? So immediately I'm not qualified for it. And boy, did that restaurant owner let me know, you know, like, well, you're a girl. Okay, we'll bring you on to be a busboy. And I thought, this is great. I'm going to learn how to be a server. This is what all creative people do in the world. they bartend, they wait tables. And so it was at a German restaurant in Chicago. And on the first night, I was totally awkward. You know, I'm 15 years old. I'm teeny tiny. And at the very end of the night, the owner's like, kid, I want you to go to each booth and get the ketchup bottles and bring them to the back. And I'm like, all right, I can do this. And being the high achiever that I am and the high performer, but also the slacker, I thought, I'm going to just do this in all one fell swoop. And I took all 37 ketchup bottles, put them on a tray, tried to lift it, kind of got it up, balanced it for like 2 seconds, and it wobbled one way and it wobbled the other way, and the glass went flying. And there was ketchup on me, on customers, there were shards of glass. It looked like a German horror film. And the owner was so mad at me. He screamed at me in front of the customers. He said, kid, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen anybody do. Get the hell out of my restaurant. Scary when you're 15, right? So I cleaned myself up in the bathroom and I got out of there. And a waiter ran after me and said, kid, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen anybody do. And gave me my share of the tips for the night. It was $200. So it's not the worst firing story, but it definitely sits in my mind about being humiliated, being embarrassed, being made fun of, and not being given any support. I don't want that for anybody. And that's part of the reason why I wrote this book.
Lori, with your experience of being on stages all throughout the world, how...
Wait, Mike, not anymore. I'm on the stage of my house.
That's right.
With my cats.
How have you, you know, with, again, so release a book, book signings, book tours, you know, presentations, I'm assuming on multiple continents that you were prepping and gearing up for.
I was, yeah.
How are you managing that personally? How has that, because that's such a big part of your brand and your passion and who you are. How are you managing through that?
Well, I'm really rooted in a sense of gratitude. Like, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to write a book with an esteemed publishing house and work with talented people all over the world who have worked hard for this book to get the big ideas out. I would say I'm disappointed because I had plans to market the book differently, to support the book differently, and I am now part of what they call the pandemic publishing club, meaning I put out a book and it's probably sold half at this point of what I thought it would sell, but it's still selling well. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. But part of the work of an author is to be the CEO and the chief revenue officer of her own business. So it's my job to sell, and I can't sell through traditional vehicles like book tours and book signings. But we're pivoting, right? We're being innovative and disruptive. So I'm doing a lot of virtual talks, a lot of corporate talks. We're still doing bulk book sales and doing presentations to corporate audiences. They're just either here or from a remote studio that I'm lucky enough to use. So yeah, I mean, there are opportunities to do this. And thank goodness the industry has also disrupted itself and kind of pivoted as well. But I'm not going to lie, Mike, it's not the dream I had, but most dreams don't actually happen the way they happen in our head. And I think the fact that I can just be helpful and get a book out is pretty good. And it sets me up for success on the next one, because kind of like when I launched my business in a recession, I learned all the things the hard way. And I feel like I'm learning publishing all the hard ways. So the next book is going to be spot on.
Yeah. Well, it's a fantastic book. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to go get your copy.
Thank you.
In fact, to those listening, if you go to LFR giveaway. So talentmagnet.com/LFR giveaway. We're going to pick a group of those who go to that and fill out the form. And we're going to purchase a copy of Lori's book and have it shipped directly to you. So talentmagnet.com/LFR giveaway. We're going to keep this open for quite a while. So if you could take this episode, listen, learn. You certainly, if you've already purchased the copy because you were so excited you couldn't even get through this episode without purchasing it, gift that copy to a friend or colleague and we'll get you your own copy, or take the one we're going to send you. So we're going to take a group of those who, not everyone's going to be a winner, but we hope many of you are. Our goal, one, Lori has been a tremendous coach, a mentor, a cheerleader for us here at the Talent Magnet Institute. And I'm forever grateful, Lori, for your wisdom, for your directness is so refreshing, and you've helped so many of us. So I thank you for encouraging me as an entrepreneur, as a startup co-founder. Life isn't always easy, but no. It's easier when we have friends like you who are walking alongside of us and supporting us. To our audience, I thank you for joining us today. You know how precious and valuable and instrumental you are for making the work that we do that much better every day to serve you right where you are in the seat that you're leading from and the life that you're living. Lori, thank you for joining us.
Mike, I just want to say before we say goodbye that I learn from you and your community all the time. Your earnestness, your generosity, your just ability to see the good, even when situations are challenging. You're definitely on the right side of history when it comes to compassion and empathy. And when I see you model that, I think to myself, gosh, I know I can do better. And I really appreciate how you challenge me to think about being a little bit kinder, being a little bit more open. And even if I don't necessarily agree with something, to consider it, which is the life you live and the life you demonstrate. So thank you for that as well.
I appreciate that, Lori.
Yeah.
Well, again, thank you all for joining us. Do not forget to go to talentmagnet.com/LFR giveaway. Subscribe to the Punk Rock HR podcast. Purchase copies for your friends of Betting on You. And I look forward to our next episode with each and every one of you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Talent Magnet Institute podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode and help spread the word by leaving a review.
The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is powered by Centennial, a talent strategy and executive search firm, and the Talent Magnet Institute. You can engage with us at Talent Magnet I on Twitter or Talent Magnet Institute on LinkedIn and Facebook. Please communicate by using #TalentMagnet. Find us in your favorite podcast app to subscribe, rate, and leave a review, as well as share with a colleague. You can also listen at talentmagnetpodcast.com. Our podcast studio is based in Greater Cincinnati, Ohio. We are supported by our listeners, clients, and partners from all over the world. The Talent Magnet Institute podcast is made possible by a great team that includes Janelle Spence and Christine Lewis of Centennial, Josh Chappelle and Adam Smith of SoundPress, produced by Chris Madine of New Fidelity Studios, and Audra Casino and Megan Doherty of One Stone Creative. Music written by DJ Corbett and Chris Madine. And myself, your host, Mike Zippel Jr. Thank you for joining us on the journey of developing leaders to succeed in relationships, work, community, and life, reframing success in leadership.